I've always been the one to say the first goodbye. Had to love and lose 100 million times. Had to get it wrong to know just what I like. Now I'm falling. You say my name like I have never heard before. I'm indecisive, but this time I know for sure. I hope I'm not the only one that feels it all. Are you falling? Center of attention. You know you can get whatever you want from me. Whenever you want it, baby. It's you and my reflection. I'm afraid of all the things it could do to me. If I would have known it, baby, I would have stayed at home. Cause I was doing better alone. But when you said hello, I knew that was the end of it all. I should have stayed.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I am your host, Belle. Each week, I'm joined by a panel of experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is financial advice, and it's important to always do your own research. I have pinned up to the top of this post a tweet. And if you could take a second to retweet that, that would be really amazing and help us get some more people in here. It's also going to be the one that I'm going to be picking people from for the one of the three free mints that we're going to be giving away later on. You have to be present to be here to claim one of those. And if you have any questions, if throughout the space you have any questions or comments or anything at all, please either request to speak or just type it in the bottom right-hand corner chat and we'll be checking that throughout the show. Today, I'm joined by super cool people that I highly admire, and I'm so glad that we're having this space. Some people that I've met in person, some people that I haven't had the pleasure yet to have on here, and so this to me is super cool. I'm going to kick it off with Drew. Drew, I actually just saw him last week, and we're going to be talking about VFriends, or VCon, I guess, is the conference that I just saw him. So Drew Beechler, founder and CEO of Holder XYZ, a Web3 CRM and marketing automation platform. Jay on Time, that I am so excited to have you on here. Jason on Time. We've never personally spoke, but I feel like I love your vibe and everything you've been doing in the space. So happy to have you on here. Jason is the senior Web3 strategist at Time and Timepieces, a 20-year marketing vet, freaking expert in what he does. Luis, I think, hopefully, is the person that we have on here from culturecity.org. It's a leading nonprofit people with invisible disabilities, which we're going to be talking about later on. And then I also have Khalid, who it looks like, Khalid, I'm going to be sending you a message right now or a request to speak. Hopefully we can get you up here, strategy director for Oliver Agency. I met Drew and Khalid at NFT NYC. And we were on a panel for marketing or for Web2 brands coming into Web3. And then it's such a coincidence that we happen to have Jason on, who's also a marketing expert as it relates to brands, et cetera, bringing them more mainstream into Web3. So I don't know, the stars aligned, and I am so happy to welcome all of you to the show. We'll start with you, Drew. How are you today?
Hey, everybody. I am so excited to be here. And yeah, it was so fun to run into you at VCon. So excited to be here. Thanks for having me. It's fun. We got some marketing firepower here. So this is going to be a fun discussion.
100%. And that is like so needed in this space. So I think that that's really, really good. Jason, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you. So glad that you could join us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate the invite. Happy to dive in.
For sure. Khalid, how are you?
I'm doing well, Belle. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, so glad that you can get up here with us. And last but not least, Luis.
It's actually Mikal in the F that never is account. Nice to talk to you again, Belle. Luis is actually, it's NF Luis, if you want to bring him up too. But we're really glad to be here and definitely appreciate you hosting us today.
All right. See, I should have kicked it off with, who do I have behind the screen?
You never know, right?
Mikal. That's what it is. Mikal and I have been following each other for quite some time. And so I'm so glad that we're, getting up here and talking about this really important organization, in my opinion, and just period of what's going on. After being in the space for so long, you kind of start to accumulate just friends from all, different walks of life. And that is what I consider you guys. So, all right, we should have Luis here.
Hey, Belle, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Awesome. All right, we got the whole house. So, guys, I pinned up at the top the tweet for this particular space. If I can have everybody retweet that, that would be fantastic. Let's get some more people in here. And then it's also let's start qualifying everybody for this free, three, actually, not just one, but three free mints that we're going to be gifting today. So super excited for that. I want to kick it off by talking about VCon or Bitcoin Miami. Because we just came back. I know that some of us did, some of us did not, but I would really love to start that week from, the conversation from that week. Last week were two really important, I would say, conferences in the Web3 ecosystem. They happened at the same time, funny enough. In Indianapolis was VCon, which is the conference hosted by VFriends or by Gary Vaynerchuk. And then on the same day, the same week, was Bitcoin Miami, which has been popping as of lately. It seems like it may be Bitcoin or BRC or Ordinals, /Ordinal summer coming up. Everyone on here that we have on the panel are marketing experts. And IRL events is something that, continues to be an important factor in Web3. And one of the things, Drew, when we bumped into each other, you know, you hosted an event there, and I was like, oh wow, there was a lot of brands coming in. And so I want to kick it off with that. Just in general, did you attend? If so, how was your experience? And how do you view these IRL events as it relates to Web3 and specifically in what you are an expert at, of, you know, helping brands come from Web2 to Web3? Do you see it? I mean, obviously this year there were a lot less amount of attendees there. But I wonder if the amount of brands that are still looking at the Web3 space for something favorable or interesting to come into, has that also dwindled or not so much? Drew, since I bumped into you, how about we start with you?
Yeah, happy to start. As Belle noted, so VCon this year, last year was the first year for VCon. It was hosted in Minneapolis. I did not actually attend last year, so I don't really have anything to compare it to. This year, it was hosted in Indianapolis, based in Indiana, which is where my hometown is, where I'm based, where our whole company at Holder actually is based. Our headquarters is in Indianapolis. So it was actually a really good opportunity for us. Our whole team, we actually had tickets for the whole team to go and experience VCon. So it was a good, even just like, team building kind of opportunity for us. You know, it's not a very often you have a Web3 and kind of culture and innovation conference come to Indianapolis, though it's like a major convention city. It's usually like the firefighters convention and Gen Con and things like that, and not like a conference hosted by Gary Vee. So it's pretty cool for that to be hosted here in our city and get to take full advantage of it. We hosted a number of events, you know, from like the business development side of things too, like in our offices and things as well. And so it was really fruitful from that perspective. It was a really fun conference, though. It was a really interesting kind of combination of people who, even though the tickets themselves were NFTs, like I'd say there's a very large percentage of people there that did not really know anything about NFTs and like had no real interest in NFTs. They're just Gary Vee fans, you know, and it's Gary Vee's conference. And he had, you know, I would say 75% of the sessions probably didn't talk at all about Web3. And we're not about Web3, you know, in any way. They were just kind of inspirational talks or, you know, talks from celebrities or founders or business leaders. You know, there's CEO of LVMH and the president of Kraft Heinz spoke, you know, just even just people like that kind of talking around, the psychology of luxury goods and, you know, and even just like from that perspective. And so because of that, I think it made for a really interesting conference. I hit up the vast majority of all of the Web3 sessions. And so it was pretty incredible. They had, you know, everybody from Snowfro and Betty from Dead Fellas, which I'm obviously very, very huge fans of, to, lots of other artists as well, from Fuocious to Thank You X to Vinnie Hager, Klon, the Cool Cats founder and artist, Andre O'Shea. Just really is an incredible kind of mix of just artists as well in kind of Web3. And so, and you don't always see some of those folks, I think, speak. So I really enjoyed it from that perspective. It was just a ton of fun to kind of get to see and hear a lot of them kind of in person. And I think to your point, so much of our world in Web3 is online and digital. And so, the last few months have been conference heavy. And I think this applies to, you know, Bitcoin Miami as well. But like when we get some of these events that happen kind of in person, it's kind of wild. Just the connections, the relationship building that happens there, you know, the trust building, you know, Belle, you and I and Khalid at least have like kind of met in person. So there's just even like a different level of like, you know, relationship building and trust kind of there when you meet somebody in person. And so I think that it's really interesting because so much of what we do happens digitally and online that when we do have these events kind of and come together, I just see the community around those events is, you know, different than, and I've been hosting events, I've been going to conferences, you know, my whole career in marketing tech and other kinds of conferences. And like, there's nothing like, I feel like a Web3 crypto conference in terms of like the community building and kind of what happens around those conferences and kind of how it impacts the relationships you build, which is really cool. And anyway, that would kind of be my quick VCon recap. And I don't want to take up kind of all the air in the room around that, but I'm also happy to go into more around kind of brands entering Web3 and kind of just, I think, at an increased clip in velocity, but we can continue to talk about that kind of later on down the show as well.
Yeah, that's a really good recap. I was, so this is my second time attending VCon, and one of the things that strikes me as like just interesting, just different, you know, is that it is not an NFT conference. It is not a Web3 conference. And in fact, the NFT portion of it, like the creators or artists, or even just talking about the blockchain technology, that's not what's at the forefront of it. It's a small percentage of really what goes on. There was more, to your point, Drew, there's a lot of motivational speeches that go on. Something interesting that I noticed, like a recurring theme across all of the speakers that were there, that were invited to say things, to speak on it, were every time that I directed toward the audience, they said things like, you are creators. You know, it was a recurring theme of understanding that the majority of people that went there, even though it was NFTs, but it was also mixed it with a lot of other things, is like the creator economy, or people that were moving things or creating, you know, content creators, etc. They all kept like referring back to, you are individual solopreneurs or entrepreneurs or creators, you know, content creators, et cetera. And so tying whatever it is that they were talking about back into that, like how to stand out in a crowd, how to use AI when, you know, everybody has access to it, et cetera. So yeah, but the NFT portion of itself, like it wasn't the same as you see it at, you know, any of the other conferences. So that's an interesting thing. Mikhail, were you guys at any of the events recently?
We were not. We recently, Culture City, as you know, is a Web2 nonprofit entering this space. And recently we did have an event in New York. I don't know if Jay, you want to talk a little bit about that. He was there for the event.
Yeah, well, sure. I could also, I guess, answer the question and kind of where I think where you're going with this. I was not at VCon either, unfortunately, but a bunch of timepieces, artists, creators, community members were there. You know, the timepieces family is vast and kind of runs deep. I think in a space like Web3, these in-person events are so important because people who are actually grinding in this space, you know, working 15 hours a day, there's something very special about being able to break bread with your confidants, with people who you're building with. And I think that's why you see so much excitement and energy around these moments on the calendar throughout the year, because it is super special when you feel like you're in a foxhole with people. But you've never met them, and then suddenly you have an opportunity to see them in person. I know you guys and Drew were talking about kind of meeting, and it creates just a whole new dimension to a relationship. You know, the interesting thing about the Web3 space as it stands today, kind of as I see it, is you have grinders, right? Like you have people who are really building, like spending 15 hours, 16 hours, 20 hours a day, like in the trenches, creating, connecting, building. But then like you also have lurkers, for lack of a better term. There's this dichotomy in this space of people who want to earn it and people who are just around to try to almost like pick off pieces of success, because it's this new space and there's so much energy and hype and enthusiasm and excitement. And if you make the right bets, you can win big financially. And I think typically the people that you see show up at these events are the people who are building and grinding the most. So I think they're fascinating in that way. You know, the conversation around the topics that are discussed, you know, NFTs, they're such a small piece of Web3 technology, right? For the longest time, you know, those kind of from within, we're talking about the blockchain as the killer app that was going to transform everything. And I think most of us building in the space, we still see so much potential: transparency on the blockchain, provenance, authenticity, you know, removing layers and layers of bureaucracy and barriers. But AI, right? Like AI is probably much closer to becoming the killer app. I think you know, people who are onboarding AI into their organizations at an enterprise level, it's dwarfing the migration to the blockchain. So I think there's a lot more conversations around that. And therefore, it kind of feels like, wait, how come nobody's talking about NFTs anymore? How come nobody's talking about PFPs? And well, it's because like that actually isn't necessarily the killer app at this point. All really interesting topics. Like Drew, I can sometimes talk a lot, so I'll shut up. But it's a really interesting time in the space. Those who are kind of grinding and building, I think there's actually more potential than ever in a lot of ways with some of this transformative technology. But I think we have to think beyond these NFT collections, which are and always will be super niche. They're super speculative. They're oftentimes not rooted in anything foundational beyond kind of the hype cycle. But then the hype cycle moves to something else, and then so too does the attention and commerce. But I think Web3 is so much broader than that. And I think the more we can understand the implications of the technology, the more we can see its potential and kind of follow along the trajectory.
I was going to ask you a little bit later to expand on what Culture City is, but I think this is a perfect opportunity because everything that you just said leads me to, for sure, I completely agree with you. And yet, there are a lot of Web2 brands, traditional companies that are looking at the Web3 ecosystem as a fantastic place to build a tighter community, a bigger community, a special type of community. And so I think this is a great opportunity. Like, let's just jump straight into what Culture City is and why, you know, as a leading nonprofit, why NFTs? Why Web3?
Yeah. So, you know, in addition to my day job, where I'm the senior Web3 strategist for Time, I'm also a pro bono advisor for Culture City, which, as you mentioned, is the largest nonprofit in the world of sensory needs and invisible disabilities. You know, they, like a lot of other nonprofits, they see the blockchain as an opportunity to usher in an era of more transparency in the relationship that donors have with important causes and initiatives and nonprofits. You know, you hear all the time people donating to like hurricane relief or famine relief. And then like 3 or 4 years later, finding out that their money actually didn't go anywhere. It just sat in an account somewhere. And because of bureaucracy and because of kind of conflicting interests, nothing ever happened with that money. And it's like, you know, you feel called to action, you're passionate about something, but the lack of transparency inherent in pretty much every organization, but especially nonprofits, is frightening and terrifying. So I think for any nonprofit that wants to be held accountable, that wants their donors to be able to feel more connected to the work that they're doing, and that work is supported by those very donors, the blockchain just presents a whole universe of opportunities to just be more transparent. And I think beyond transparency, you know, thinking of tokens, NFTs, or whatever you want to call them, as a Trojan horse, right? A lot of companies felt compelled over the last generation to build a mobile app because the mobile app was intended to be a Trojan horse. You're on somebody's device, you're connected to them at all times, and you can communicate with them in real time at scale. The problem there, of course, was all of a sudden people were downloading dozens and sometimes hundreds of mobile apps on their phone, and you couldn't tell the difference from one to the next to the next. There's no interoperability across all those different platforms. I think nonprofits and other brands for sure, but specifically nonprofits, you see a Web3 wallet as an opportunity to once again have a Trojan horse that allows you direct communication with your audience, except this time it's actually personalized at scale. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution like a mobile app where you're speaking one-to-many. In the Web3 space, through the blockchain, you can speak one-to-one at scale. And what I mean by that is once somebody has your token in their wallet, theoretically, you can mine that wallet for all kinds of data and insights around how they're engaging with your brand, when they're connecting with you, what prompts are causing them to lean in which case they'll receive a token in return, but also externally, what else is in their wallet? Who else are they interacting with? What tokens do they hold in their wallet? What brands are they engaging with? And suddenly you have an incredible tranche of data at scale, and you can begin to personalize engagement and communications and provide compelling offers at scale to individuals or at least to cohorts within your user base. So all of which is to say this technology allows an organization to put the customer at the center of everything it does. In this case, it allows a nonprofit to put the donor at the center of everything it does and give the donor all the while a vested interest in the success, however you define success, of what that organization is doing. Because, you know, in so much as these tokens are speculative assets, and they are, right? I just listened to an interview with Overpriced JPEGs where Carly was talking to Kevin Rose and, you know, just discussing, you know, no matter how you look at it, like people are buying these things, not because they want a safe kind of store of value. It's because they're speculating on a return on investment. And once you have a vested interest, as you can see with what's happening with Pudgy Penguins, and you have that core base, it gives them a reason to want to advocate even more for that organization or for the nonprofit they believe in. So that's kind of what's exciting to Culture City and frankly, just a lot of other nonprofits that I'm dealing with.
That's amazing. I love it. I have to say, like, not only do I admire what you guys are doing as a nonprofit, but I also think that it's admirable that you are doing it in a way that is capitalizing, leveraging what the blockchain technology allows you to do, and not just in a very superficial way, but, you know, truly utilizing things like data that you just spoke about. There's so much data that gets put out there that we have at our fingertips that sometimes we just don't use the correct way or really even use it at all, right? And so I think that you guys are like, you guys are hitting it from a lot of different angles that is very cool to see. So really cool. I want to give Khalid a little bit of time to also chat, because one of the things that we were talking about on the panel was almost specifically to that. We had a question that was posed to us, and I think that you gave a really good answer. I'm going to bring it back to you again. And that is on exactly that point of data, right? Why do you think that in addition to nonprofit organizations, but just brands that are coming in and looking at it right now, right? How are they utilizing it from like the entire plethora of all of the data that we have available? Is that something that they're even aware of? Is that something that they're also utilizing to make to make improvements on their end of it? Do they come in more from the community, more from like the community standpoint, or are they also looking at it in a way to be more transparent?
Yeah, I can jump in. Appreciate that, Belle, and what's good, everybody? Good to hear from you again, Drew, as well. But yeah, in regards to data, I mean, it's definitely a priority for brands, especially big brands who have large reach. You know, once social media kind of exploded and was able to, you know, kind of leverage everybody's private data to give brands more targeting, you know, data kind of became an even bigger priority for brands to, like, you know, just be able to control how they spend their marketing dollars. So that kind of, you know, went to CRM becoming more of a priority from an email standpoint. You know, my clients at Molson Coors, they always talk about data collection as one of their top priorities. So that's why you see a lot of like our brands, whether it's Miller Lite or Coors Light, like doing a lot of promotions, you know, promotion driven campaigns that require emails and things like that. And I think with what Web3 is just basically, you know, pulling people a little bit further down the funnel beyond an email to where, like Jason was saying, you can really get into people's purchasing behaviors. I think that's the future of kind of where this is going, is just being able to get even more details of how people are kind of leveraging their, you know, investing dollars or disposable income, and, you know, seeing what others collect in their wallets and things like that will become, you know, even more valuable. And that's something that we don't, we're not able to see with an email, right? Email is very much a one way conversation oftentimes. So with wallets and digital wallets, you kind of get a bit of a two way, you know, experience from a brand and consumer standpoint. So, so yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity there. And I think one example I kind of brought up on the panel was like the hourglass, you know, example of like the traditional sales funnel kind of ends, you know, with the loyalty program at the bottom. And that's kind of where email lives as well. When you look at, you know, the bottom of the sales funnel, but with Web3, it kind of, you know, opens up the sales funnel at the bottom. And there's almost like another, you know, triangle, if you will, that forms, that makes an hourglass. And I feel like that's where like Web3, you know, once you sign or sign up for a project or you connect your wallet, you know, the experience kind of starts over again and it expands to, you know, whether that's rewards or, you know, community incentives or in real life events. I think that's really where Web3 can be powerful and, you know, just kind of extend the relationship with this customer. So,
yeah, there's also another point that I hear over and over and over again that I think is so important, and that is rewarding your users and rewarding your community members. And so I'll open that up to the floor if any of you want to talk about that. I think that, you know, using data and just being in tune with what your community wants is a huge part of rewarding the same people that are supporting you on that ecosystem. Anybody want to jump in on that?
I think Jason made a really good point around this, and even just with nonprofits, I think is really kind of a unique angle to take this. But like one of the core opportunities that we have with Web3 is how you can use incentives and like aligned incentives, you know what I mean? And you can give kind of the whether it's a customer or a donor, you know what I mean? But the end kind of stakeholder can actually kind of benefit in the upside as well. And I think that that's where, when you think about, you know, how do I think about the best, most, you know, accretive members to my community or in my audience or my customer base. It's really kind of unique as you start to think about understanding all of this data. And it's not, you know, it's not only just who spent the most money, you know, with me, like what makes for kind of a good community member is sometimes a little kind of subjective. And so I think that there's still some aspect of how you need to think around, you know, when I look at my community, you know, how are people engaging, and not just, you know, are they spending the most amount of money or, you know, a giant bag holder or something like that of whatever, you know, whether it's my token or my coin or my DAO, you know, they have a large, you know, percentage of governance votes or whatever, but also, are they, you know, an active and contributing member of the community, and are they pushing forward kind of the mission? And I think that's the unique thing with Web3 and how you can design these incentives is like in the middle, there is no distributor, there is no, you know, Facebook Meta kind of advertising tax in order to kind of get in front of these people. It's just the blockchain, and you can kind of design that any way you want. And so kind of there's lots of unique incentives where you can kind of start to give people, you know, whether it's rewards or how do you start to incentivize the behavior that you want to create. And I think this is a double-edged sword because whatever you incentivize, you know, you're also, you get what you incentivize. And so kind of, I think that's why we've seen a lot of kind of people just focused on kind of price speculation and, you know, price appreciation. And so it's because of how we've kind of set up the incentive structures so far that we get a lot of that. But I think that that's kind of the most powerful use case around Web3 is that the world is your oyster. Kind of, you can be as creative as you want in terms of how do we use these incentives and this open kind of code base to reward, you know, the most valuable, you know, members of our community and kind of evolve that over time.
Yes, and just to add to that, Drew, and I totally agree. First, like always, having that criteria is going to be tricky in terms of who do you reward. But beyond that, let's say at the end of the day, a community, your community is, they are basically your brand ambassadors. So the criteria can vary. But the thing that I like the most about Web3 is it goes back to transparency in terms of people can see who you're rewarding. In a sense, people can see how clear and transparent in the fact that you're fulfilling your promises, to put it in some way. So that, to me, it's a key aspect of Web3 that completely separates from the traditional loyalty programs, Web2 loyalty programs, where you don't really see what happened after the fact that someone gets rewarded, if they do. So definitely, to me, coming as a former Visa employee, where loyalty is a big part of what the current networks do, for example, adding that extra layer of transparency on chain, where people can see how things are being rewarded and who the ultimate winners or ambassadors are, it's very, very powerful.
Love that. Jay, you brought up Pudgy Penguins, which I think is, you know, we can all agree is just kicking ass and taking numbers, taking names on what they are doing from a marketing perspective. I mean, they have these plushies, Pudgy Penguins, and they have utilized their IP on that. You know, on steroids, it almost seems like they got it to the point that as soon as they launched, pretty much they immediately started trending and being number one and, you know, selling out on certain pudgies that they had on Amazon. You brought it up. And as a 20-year vet in marketing, I would love to know just like your general idea or your general thoughts on what the key to success has been to what they're doing.
Well, that's a lot of things. I think most importantly, they're building from within rather than the typical trickle-down approach of launching a product once you've identified product market fit, doing some testing, and then selling it to the world. What they've done is more akin to a Kickstarter campaign where you have existing loyalists who have a vested interest, as we said earlier, in the success of the brand, who already align with the brand's mission, vision, values, ethos, who have a financial stake and directly a financial stake because, you know, as you know, each of the plush products that they created was through licensed IP from actual holders, right? Like they're physical replicas of items that currently live on the blockchain that are owned by people within the community. So they're literally benefiting their community every step of the way, even in the sale of physical goods. But yeah, it's just a very novel approach to building a brand where you already have a core base of evangelists. But it's not just that. They have really compelling IP. They're the cutest product on the blockchain, right? And cuteness matters. How you design a product, the story that you tell around it, the aura, the vibe that you get, you know, I liken it in a lot of ways to Doodles. I think Doodles in their own right and Pudgy Penguins are probably the most accessible IP on the blockchain because when you see it, you like it. And you can't discount that. You can't discount the mom and the grandma and the daughter looking at something and not even knowing what it is and saying that's cute or that's not threatening or that's not limiting. And I think both brands in their own right have executed that flawlessly by design, right? Like smart design. And it was very intentional. But yeah, building from within, being transparent with your audience. Obviously, since Luca took over the brand, comms changed 180 degrees. Brand building changed 180 degrees. They are super loud on social media. They've exponentially increased and it enhanced their presence on Instagram, you know, visual platforms that make sense for a visual brand. Every day they're out there building the brand and rewarding their existing evangelists. It goes back to what Drew was saying earlier. You should reward those who rock with you the most. It only makes sense. Democratizing access to things where everybody can get a piece of the pie is important, But once you've identified, based on whatever criteria you have, who's most vested in your success, you better bring them along for the ride and put them at the center of your decision making. Vet things with your existing customer base. Smart brands have been doing this for a very long time, but again, through the blockchain, through smart tokenomics, you have just a reservoir of data about who your audience is, how they're engaging with you, what they're engaging with. You can track things on the blockchain, like creating content, whose content is actually generating the most engagement, who's onboarding onto your platform through a community member's content. And as long as you're tracking all this information, then over time, it becomes crystal clear who your most important evangelists are. And you should build for them, build for your core, and the rest will follow. A, because they'll see that you're a customer-centric organization, and that's who we as people want to do business with. But B, for some, it's going to give them a reason to want to lean in even further, because they want that. They want to be at the center. I want to be a Delta, you know, quadrillion fucking medallion member, because I want all the perks every time I fly. So that's what Luca and the Pudgy Penguins team are doing, and they're doing it flawlessly, and they're creating the blueprint in a lot of ways about how you create digital IP and articulate it and bring it to life in the real world through a whole variety of means. I mean, toys is just the start for this brand. Obviously, there will be all kinds of channels where the brand will come to life. And I think it's fair to assume every step of the way, their biggest, most loyal, most vested audience members, community members, affiliates, whatever you want to call them, will disproportionately benefit. And that's exactly how it should be.
Yeah, one of the things that Luca has talked about and Steve, his CCO, has talked about that I thought that's a really cool, really smart way of doing it, was that when they started launching, they decided to purposely only do it on Amazon for 1 week, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a little bit more than that, but to exclusively do it, launch it on Amazon. And that was because the idea was that or the experience that they had gained in their previous companies, and what made them so much of a hit, he was sharing, was that the viability of getting it to be one of the top ones on Amazon depended a lot on how much it was being shared on social media, specifically like hashtags, so specifically keywords. And the more that it was shared by, you know, members of the community or just consumers or whatever, then the higher that it would go up on the algorithm, for lack of a better word, for Amazon, and the higher that it would be, the greater percentage that it would be in front of people, making it therefore trending on toys and then selling it out. And obviously that the quicker that they sold out, the quicker that, you know, FOMO was created and so on and so forth. So they really depended on exactly what you just said, Jay, on creating a community or allowing the community members to be the ones that evangelize that product, that community, that people, et cetera, because of, you know, a multitude of emotions that go behind it, but really allowing the people behind it in the community to be the ones that were evangelizing it is what they were depending on. And I remember that I was listening to him say that the day, like hours before the launch. And then a few hours later, I checked and of course it had gone, you know, as viral as it could be, and they were selling out and they were doing great things, et cetera, et cetera. And then Luca was talking about how after that was done and everybody was on board and now wanting it, then they were going to be marketing it to in other places that they had yet to announce. So I think that evangelism from the community members and the social media aspect of it, and exactly to your point, the content creator aspect of it, of knowing, you know, what content creator is doing the biggest things, is really, really important. I was at Consensus a couple of weeks ago and I attended one of these talks that Carly had actually for JPEGs, Oprah's JPEGs. And she had on Daniel Alegre, which is the new CEO for Yuga Labs. And he said something that just resonated with me. And that was when he was working, you know, at his prior company, they operated with the idea that if an influencer did not talk about your game, because, you know, he came from the gaming world. If an influencer or a content creator is what I prefer to call them, did not talk about your game, then it wasn't going anywhere. Like, it needed to come from a person, from people that other people could relate to, is what I took from it. So I really appreciated that from a marketing perspective of it. I think that it is brilliant. That's the way of the future, so to say. And it is incredibly Web3, focused. So I can totally see that. Jay, I think those are really good points. Culture City. I saw that you pinned up here, and I think that I really wanted to dive into this because I love it. What are sensory bags? And I'll open that to, yeah, go ahead, Lise.
Yeah, it's one of the things that Culture City do in terms of sensory inclusivity for people with invisible disabilities. And so these bags have a series of elements to help people with invisible disability be out there and enjoy situations and events that otherwise they couldn't do. So these objects or things inside the sensory bags that are handed for free at concerts, events, etc., have a pair of headphones, noise canceling headphones. They have like these fidget spinners and some other like toys with different textures that somehow are clinically proven to reduce the sensory overload. They're pretty special. That is something that like the numbers are staggering, the amount of sensory bags that they've handed out at these events. That's one of the many things this beautiful organization does.
I love that. You told me so many touching stories about it that I thought, you know, of course, this is an organization that I want to support. Tell us a little bit about the NFT collection itself.
Yeah, so the NFT collection, we're about to announce the total number of digital collectibles that are going to be put out for sale/donations. We already have a free collection, which is an open edition, and we're going to have a limited edition collection, which is a PFP collection of this mystical tribe called the Chaos. So the idea behind it is that as the main purpose of this project is to bring people and create more awareness and bring people closer to the organization. We don't want to leave anyone behind. So we welcome everyone who wants to join the community by either donating or claiming the free open edition collectible. And the collection was done by Tom Porras. He's an amazing artist. He also did Pirates of the Metaverse. He really captured the essence of the organization in these chaos that have like these fishbowl heads and the headphones being one of the center elements of the art. And what we want to portray here with each of them is the power that everyone has to becoming or to realize their fullest potential. So you're going to see many different traits within the Chaos collection, hinting things that like people with invisible disabilities, same as people without invisible disabilities can do. There are some on the rare side of the trades, some reflections on the fishbowl heads as well, that kind of showcase these chaos living the moment and being at places. So I think it has a lot of meaning behind the art. And once the collection is out very soon, you're gonna, I'm sure you guys are gonna love it and really start identifying these elements behind the art that has some sort of connection with the real world. I don't know, Jay, if you want to add something to it.
Yeah, I think you know, the goal is to position this not as just another NFT collection, although it's launching as an NFT collection, which is kind of the irony of it. You know, much in the spirit of what you know, Luca and team are doing with Pudgy Penguins, the goal here, you know, we'll see if it's achieved, but the goal here is to transport people into another universe, a universe where they can begin to understand some of the plight and realities that people with invisible disabilities live with every day. People who are overcome by sensory challenges, people with PTSD, autism, mental illness, anxiety, depression, stroke, dementia, so on and so forth. And the way to kind of allow people to very safely wrap their heads around this reality was to create this fictional universe of characters who, after, as the story goes, thousands and thousands of years in captivity, under the evil, watchful eye of this spirit called the Nevers, they've broken free and they've created this new world for themselves where they're free to explore and live lives to the fullest, whatever that may mean for them. It's a corollary for what happens in the real world, where somebody who has severe autism, for example, they may never be able to have a job. They may never enter into a relationship. They may never be able to speak. But if given the right resources and allowed to exist within the right structure,
sorry, Jay. Technical difficulties. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Sorry.
Okay. No, I don't know where you lost me, but big picture, like the goal is this really compelling storytelling project, allowing people from all walks of life to be able to immerse themselves in a story about people who are overcoming challenges. To see these characters, to immerse themselves in the journey, and to hopefully fall in love with the organization behind the project. So in a lot of ways, the NFT collection is a means to an end. It's a way to tell a story to a new audience who otherwise doesn't know about the story in a language that they understand through a channel that they understand, and allow Culture City to begin to conquest and find new donors, new supporters among the Web3 audience, many of whom are very civically minded. I think that's what's really fascinating about the culture of Web3 is these are people who believe in democratization. These are people who believe in breaking down societal structures. These are people who believe in uplifting disenfranchised communities. These are people who believe in the power of technology to transform archaic industries. So, you know, success is this community finding this organization through this project. And then moving forward, there will be a plethora of other opportunities outside of an NFT collection where an organization like Culture City can use the blockchain, can use artificial intelligence to do some of the things that we talked about before.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And I especially love how you described everybody who's in this ecosystem as spot on. Is there a date for the drop?
That's a question for Luis and the Drip Studios team.
Nope, I guess not. Luis,
maybe Luis is not here anymore. yeah, I think they're looking to launch within a month, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so he said, you know, he alluded to soon, and so I was just wondering if there was a date on that, but no, it's okay. Actually, Luis, I think we lost you. Let me pull you back up as a speaker up here. Here we go. Okay, cool. So we're going to be giving away, or not me, the team has graciously decided to give away three NFTs today. So in a little bit, I'm going to be picking the people on here. Make sure that if you haven't already, it is pinned up to the top. It is the NFT Girl tweet on there. Like and retweet for a chance to win it. And I'll be picking that in about 3 minutes or so. So go ahead, Luis, and then we can pick it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was on mute. Yeah, so just to answer your question, we're about to announce the mint date potentially this week or early next week. And the reason why we haven't is because we're also announcing a partnership to help us kind of propel the launch of the project. So yeah, expect the mint date and the partnership announcement in the next week or so.
Sweet. All right. So not only the date, but also partnership announcement. That's really cool. You guys have actually partnered with a lot of big organizations and a lot of big names, right? You want to share that with us?
Yeah, and I'm sure Jay can jump in as well, since he's personally know them for a long time, some of them. But yeah, Culture City has an amazing board of the chairman of the board is, for example, Dominic Wilkins, NBA Hall of Famer, and they have many other celebrities that somehow they're connected to their cause. In some cases, some family members that has autism or any other invisible disability. So they're very close to the organization. And as Jay always says, this is one of those organizations that are huge, but you've probably never heard of them, but they're everywhere. So yeah, and there's been a lot of support from some of the board members and the their network, and it's gonna continue to be like that, and as we move closer to the mint and after as well.
That's awesome. How does one get to join as part of it?
We have currently a wait list on the website, and we're transitioning that into an actual allow list, where we're started collecting wallets to allow people into the private sale event. So we're gonna host a private sale and immediately after a public sale. The best way right now would be joining the waitlist, following us on social media at Culture C. And which is the account that says F the Never here on the stage, and tune in, because stay tuned, because we're gonna announce very soon the mint day and other instruction on how to join the allow list, basically.
All right, that's what everybody wants to know. Very, very cool. Drew, I want to kick it back to you. Tell us about what you have going on in your world and where we can learn more. And then at the same time, I'm going to open up the floor if anybody has any questions for Culture City, F the Nevers, or anybody up here. Just request to speak and we'll get you up here. Drew, tell us where we could find more information about you and what you have going on.
Yeah, happy to. I guess I didn't share too much about what I do earlier, but I'm the CEO and founder of a company called Holder.xyz. Holder is a marketing automation, marketing tech platform for brands and creators in Web3. We just recently, last week on Wednesday, actually launched our new product, which is called Automation Builder, holder.xyz/automation. You can go there and see more about our Automation Builder that we just launched. And really kind of this is kind of a pretty like normal standard technology and kind of digital marketing that's been around for a decade or so, and we're kind of bringing a lot of that opportunity to Web3 brands, to where you can trigger marketing campaigns or alerts based on events that are happening on the blockchain. So if someone interacts with a contract, or someone becomes a VIP holder of a very specific NFT with a trait that is a particular trait, you're able to kind of trigger marketing campaigns based on that. So that's kind of our latest launch and kind of effort that we've been promoting at HolderXYZ on Twitter as well.
Very cool. I was super attracted to what you guys are doing because there's not a lot of CRMs available in Web3 right now.
No, and it's been exciting to kind of be on some of the early kind of forefront of some of that. And our team has a pretty deep background in traditional marketing tech. You know, I spent a number of years at Salesforce back in the day as well, and have been in startups for a very long time. And Web3, it was always kind of just a side kind of passion of mine. And in early 2022, decided to jump out full time to build this. And it's been an exciting journey over the last year here, which is incredible.
Awesome. Khalid, how about you?
Hey, I have to jump in a second, but yeah, Khalid B here. I'm an artist first as a DJ producer. I have a brand here in Chicago called Afrobang, which blends Afro beats and hip hop in an effort to unite the African diaspora through music and experiences. And with that, I also release my own music, which I'm releasing my first digital collection pretty soon, most likely next month, called The Plant Tapes, which is a music kind of hybrid NFT with a collection of short music videos that I've shot, and will reward collectors with intimate and real life experiences, dining experiences, I should say. But outside of that, my day job, I work as a strategy director at Molson Coors for their in-house agency, which has been an adventure, you know, this past couple months, considering all the stuff going on in the beer industry. But they've definitely invested a lot in just research and development into the Web3 space, which I've had the pleasure of being on a lot of the internal teams, or the one internal team that is managing that. And so just getting to see it from an enterprise level. Like you said, there's a lot of investment in data collection, CRM, and just kind of understanding the space in general, and like what's the ROI, you know, from a branding standpoint, you know, specifically, and just from a CPG standpoint too. So I think brands are still figuring it out. It's still very early. There's a lot of brand safety guidelines and things like that's, you know, mandatory at an enterprise level that isn't really in place yet in Web3. So it's going to be interesting how things shake out. But yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell, my journey in the space. I've been in it since about 2021 as well, just kind of like learning, understanding, collecting, listening, but it's been a lot of fun so far.
Very cool. It's such a pleasure to have you guys on, and it's always really cool when you meet somebody IRL, you know, it's it takes it to the next level. So happy to have met both of you guys on in an IRL event. Jay, you do a lot of stuff, and I know that you touched on it a little bit more, you know, earlier on in the space, but I want to give you the same chance. What all do you do, and how do people know more and about what you have going on?
Yeah, so, you know, Timepieces is one of the biggest, you know, both critically and commercially, mainstream brand platforms in Web3, obviously launched a couple of years ago. We've done a number of collections and drops and partnerships with, I think the number is 158 of the biggest artists and creators in the space today. People like Drift and Fuck Render and Micah Johnson and Nyla Hayes and Patrick Amadon and many others who are kind of the bedrock and foundation of at least the creative side of Web3 as we know it. You know, it's a values-based community. We provide all kinds of content and programming for the community in the broader Web3 space. And we also have essentially been running a B2B consultancy within Time for the last couple of years, working with a number of nonprofits, Fortune 500, enterprise brands, IP holders, guiding their strategy into how to capitalize on Web3 technology, how to expand their understanding of the space, how to embrace these new technologies at an infrastructure level, enterprise-wide, how to harness community, so on and so forth. So I kind of sit across both the B2C and B2B operations within Time in Web3. And as I mentioned, I'm also a pro bono advisor for Culture City, which is the leading nonprofit on sensory needs and invisible disabilities.
I love that. You guys are doing so many amazing things with timepieces of time. You know, just understanding and elevating the artists and the creators out there. So really fantastic, amazing job. And I hope that everybody's already following you. If not already, make sure that you are following Jay and all of our speakers on here. But it's always a feel good moment to do so, right? Mikhail or Luis, I'll open it up to you guys to say, you know, what more should we be looking forward to from Culture City?
Yeah, and thanks again for the opportunity to talk about Culture City. One of the things that I think people are is going to connect to in a very positive manner is that the funds raised through F the Nevers will go towards their Makes the Never Possible program. So this organization, Culture City, they get a lot of requests from families with family members with invisible disabilities. And some of the things or the requests that they get is like, we will like to take our son to Disney to meet his favorite characters. And can you help us do that? And Culture City will make that happen. So what we want to do in terms of being transparent and communicating the actual value of the project is to tie in these donations and communicate to the community as these nevers are being made possible through Culture City. Same way they do it right now in a Web2 way, but now incorporating the Web3 community. So there's going to be a lot of communication afterwards in terms of the nevers being made possible through F the Nevers, through the actual Web3 project. So I think that's going to be very interesting. And I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Go ahead, Beth.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to kind of add on to what Luis said. I think one of the reasons I'm most passionate about what Culture City is doing beyond like the work they do is that they are becoming an ambassador to the Web2 world and to their board and to the people who already support them, right? Like, we're always talking about onboarding the masses to Web3, but the majority of projects that we're here minting and quote unquote supporting, there's a lot of rugs. There's a lot of people without roadmaps, or maybe it's a project that donates like 10% towards a charity or something. So this is like a shining example of what Web3 can be. I think, you know, for me personally, it's very important to support causes like this that are going to have the potential to bring those Web2 users in and show them the value of the space. It's not all just like monkey JPEGs worth ridiculous amounts of money. It's not rug pulls. It's not meme coin scams, right? Like, there's real people here building real things, doing real work that brings good to the world. So I just encourage everybody, like, if you have an interest in onboarding Web2 users, these are the types of projects that have the potential to do it.
Yeah, and we really hope other charity organizations are going to follow the lead from Culture City and join the Web3 space. And we see this as a beyond a NFT project, as a platform for creating awareness and raising funds for any charitable organization. So this is just one of the first ones, and we hope many more will come to the space.
Amazing. I hope that you guys have all of the success in the world, because this is exactly what we need more of in Web3. We have three winners. I'm going to pass your information along to Mikkel or to Luis, whichever one of you, so that we can get it. Yes, Static Motion NFT, HODL Queen, and Lord of ETH. I hope that you guys enjoy that.
Amazing. HODL Queen has been like supporting us all over the timeline since the space started. She just joined the wait list. I'm excited that you are one of the winners. Just wanted to shout you out. And Static Motion is actually one of our ambassadors too. So I love to see him win one as well. That's incredible.
I love that. City rewarding the community already. I love that. Thanks, you guys, for joining us today. That's going to be it for today's show. If you haven't already, make sure to follow all of our speakers, Culture City, F the Nevers, my personal account, Bell NFT, so you can stay in the know of all of the amazing speakers and topics that we have lined up for you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. You could have been anywhere today, and yet you chose to be here with us. So appreciate all of the time and appreciate you for just showing up. We do the show every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you didn't know, now you know. And I'll see you next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Beaucoup de meurs dans le ghetto, y'a beaucoup de meurs dans le ghetto, donc obligé de me réveiller tôt. C'est sûr que sur le terrain y'a les vautours. Oh,
j'suis sorti, j'ai cher de la tour. Baby, la bug qui donne la tour. C'est à qui appartient le four. Fais le fou, tu repars en sous-vêtements.
Oh, t'as beau tout recommencer, mais ton passé revient toujours assez. 6h30, la cible est touchée. Par un 6h35, l'affaire est classée.
J'ai recommencé, baby, la belle dit à élasser. Ils sont pas fous pour nous menacer, billets froissés.
J'fais les sous le lundi, j'donne la paye le mardi. J'sais pas combien de mecs sont partis, mais j'sais que les balles en sortent le samedi. Ça détaille toute la journée, y'a mes gars toujours au fourneau. Ne me balance pas, s'il te plaît, la calage te fait zooker.
Dans le 4K, tu me la critiques, je ne roule pas sur la file de droit. Bagarre géniale à l'hôpital, tu connais, tu connais.
Sa bibi, sa bibi, sa bibi la dos. Y'a la scotin qui filoche, ça rétit, ça rétit, récupère la zone. T'es mal, c'est l'autre qui pilote.
Yes, I, suis-moi, suis-moi, prends pas de voix. Quand je me regarde dans le miroir, j'ai l'impression que je m'en veux.
Soir, puis l'on met le mardi gras. Sans ennemi sur basket. J'fais les comptes le lundi. J'donne la paye le mardi. J'sais pas combien de mecs sont partis, mais j'sais que les balles en sortent le samedi.
Ça détaille toute la journée. Y'a mes gars toujours au fourneau. Ne me balance pas, s'il te plaît. La calage de Facebook.
Beaucoup de meurs dans le ghetto, y'a beaucoup de meurs dans le ghetto, donc obligé de me réveiller tôt. C'est sûr que sur le terrain y'a
les autos. J'fais les comptes le lundi, j'donne la paye le mardi. J'sais pas combien de meufs sont partis, mais j'sais que les balles en sortent le samedi.
Ça détaille toute la journée, y'a mes gars toujours au fourneau. Et me balance pas, s'il te plaît.